T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Thursday afternoon. Coming up just about an hour, we're going to do our special live Zoom call with my old buddy Glenn Beck. I'm really looking forward to this. Glenn was on the program yesterday, and of course we listen to Glenn each and every morning. Great, great guy, an amazing broadcaster. And we had 12 very lucky winners who have the chance this evening, just about an hour away, to join me and my friend John Reed for this very special Zoom call. I'm very excited about it. I think it's going to be a great deal of fun, an hour with Glenn Beck. Now, tomorrow morning, you get the opportunity to spend not 1 hour, but 4 hours with John Reed. And if you're like me, you're going to be there for every single second, because John does an amazing job. He really does. I know tomorrow he's got Brian Moran, the Secretary of Public Safety, on, so you might be looking for some fireworks there. And John is broadcasting from Orlando at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, and I'm just so happy he's got some time for us. John, thanks for joining us.
It's Disney World for political people.
And politics is Hollywood for ugly people, right?
Right. So you do the math and figure it out.
All right. Well, have you been on a teacup ride, or have you been working the crowd such as it is at CPAC?
It's something like that. It's similar to the teacup ride or the Haunted Mansion, because I was downstairs a few minutes ago. I came up to be in the peace of the hotel room.
Sure.
For this call, but there are tons of people here. I think the number that's being floated to me is that there'll be 5,000 people here for CPAC this year. And, man, that's a pretty significant number. I was trying to figure out, no one seems to have an answer. Is that the largest convention since the pandemic started, other than Trump rallies? I think it might be.
I'll bet you it probably is. And you know the question is going to be asked, so let's get right to it. Are these people wearing masks? Are they social distancing? Is the legacy media already there going, oh, this is a super spreader event come hell or high water?
Yeah, look, we could write the story today. In fact, they probably have already written the story. They're just waiting to put the details in. With the dates and the names of the people who will inevitably, somebody's going to get COVID associated with being in Florida, whether it's at this event or not. Now, to answer your first question, yeah, everybody's wearing masks. People are being polite to each other. It is a little more, it's a huge space.
Yeah.
But this is not a paranoid, freak out, dare I say, cowardly crowd.
Mm-hmm.
People are not throwing themselves up against the wall as you walk by because they're scared they're going to catch something. I think people, and then they don't seem to be shaking hands. They do the fist bump and then the elbow bump. And I think they're being pretty cautious. And every morning, every attendee has to fill out a little form that says, do you have a fever? How do you feel? This is the same thing a lot of people are doing before they go to their offices.
Yeah.
That we have to do before we go to our offices to say, have you encountered anyone that you know is COVID? And if you answer the 7 questions, I guess, correctly, you get a green check mark. You have to show that before you walk into the room. Mm-hmm. Then you still get your temperature checked. I mean, they're probably every single table in this entire hotel convention center complex has sanitizer on it, and there are people running around wiping things down. So if anybody gets sick, it is not going to be because they were lazy about it here or dismissive. It is about, are you going to move on with your life and continue with the events and the things that are important and valuable to you, or are you going to continue to cower in the basement? And I'm hoping I'm going to be responsible and careful, but I'm just not sitting in the basement anymore. I'm moving on. So.
You know, it reminds me a little bit of some of the cruises that Heidi and I have been on over the years. It seems like every ship has always had, or at least in our experience, has always had people dedicated to doing nothing but wiping down handrails. I mean, you know, they would go up one side, and then they go down the other side, and then they started up the first side again. It was just nonstop. So It just sounds a lot like that, frankly.
I'm glad you brought that up. As someone who had norovirus on a cruise once and lost about 10 pounds, the good thing being that you could see 8-pack abs when it was all over with because I'd lost so much weight and done so much abdominal work, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. It's the same thing. I mean, they're cleaning like crazy. And, you know, I think this will be a good test of how we manage these things going forward. Somebody had to be the first one to have an event again, and it might as well be conservatives like us who have been saying it's time to reopen. I feel comfortable about it. I know that it's probably not going to be perfect. Somebody's going to get sick. And, you know, there are a lot of seniors here, too. Now, that would kind of worry me. If I was in my 70s, and some of these attendees are in their 70s, you get to make your own decisions. It's a free country still. You get to make your own decisions about how you live your life. I probably wouldn't come if I was in my 70s, unless I'd had the vaccine, I guess. But, you know, these people feel strongly about the survival of the country. This is one of the things they do to make their voice heard and participate in the conversation about these key issues, and they're willing to take the risk.
John, I heard you this morning with Ben Klein and a number of other folks. So give us a sense. Ordinarily, CPAC is – it's almost like a strategy session. If we, the conservatives, have received some sort of a thumping at the ballot box, there's some commiserating, oh my gosh, what are we going to do, and then we start doing it. If we're victorious in the election, many times it's a victory lap, and also discussions about how do we keep the momentum going. So this time out, we're certainly out of the White House, but we're within striking distance in both the House and the Senate. So what's the sense there?
I think there are a lot of people just, I'm here by myself, so I'm listening to people as they talk. I try not to call it eavesdropping, but I guess it's eavesdropping as I walk around and hear people have conversations. A lot of people are really mad about November for a variety of reasons. I won't go. Everybody knows the reasons that people are frustrated and angry. They feel betrayed by members of Congress, it sounds like. So I don't know how some of these members of Congress will do. I mean, I don't think anybody, I'm looking at the agenda right now, I don't think anybody who's speaking here stood against President Trump, because that probably wouldn't go over very well in this crowd. But, you know, the agenda items that they're talking about, like conservative prosecutors propose conservative reforms, that's tomorrow evening. Same badge, different beat, to protect and serve, or socialist social workers. So there's an hour being devoted to talking about cops and how you counter this narrative that cops are supposed to be social workers rather than the folks you call in to stop something bad from happening or to stop it from getting worse after something bad has happened. Josh Hawley is speaking. Donald Trump Jr. Let's see, there's a discussion about what you might expect. China subverting America, winning without fighting. So, you know, here are responsible conservatives who are worried about trade issues and human rights issues and economic issues related to China, trying to keep us out of a full-fledged economic war, I guess worse than the one we're in, and potentially a shooting situation. Rick Grenell, the former acting director of U.S. National Intelligence and, you know, ambassador to Germany, former ambassador to Germany, he's speaking. And then, of course, the big speech that is, I think, is going to be anything other than navel gazing is Sunday from the former president, Donald Trump. Yeah. And everybody's wondering what in the heck this guy's going to say. Is he going to rail about November and about January and what the Republicans did and did not do? Is he going to announce a new political party? Will he announce on Sunday that he's running again in 2024? My God, can you? I mean, everyone is talking about that speech, and that's the grand finale at like 3:30 on Sunday.
Now, I have to ask about my old friend Mike Pence. I heard you this morning saying it probably was a good thing that the former vice president did not accept an invitation to speak. What's going on with that?
Well, apparently they extended, the organizers here, the American Conservative Union, who have had great relations. I mean, God, they probably were more connected to Mike Pence than they were to Donald Trump ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and Mike Pence has been a solid conservative on every issue, social issues, economic issues, in anything. You go through the checklist of conservative issues in public policy, Mike Pence has been there. But I don't know whether the thing to say is he's got some explaining to do about the way he handled the end of the Trump administration, the Trump-Pence administration, and what he was thinking, especially in his remarks after what happened at the Capitol on January 6th. Mm-hmm. But I did talk to a couple of ladies who apparently thought that I was the maitre d' here at the hotel. But I told them that was not the case. I'd be happy to talk to them.
Right, not yet.
I brought up Mike Pence. I forget how it came up, but I wouldn't say they spit on the ground, but they said we used to love him, we hate him now. Now, you know, it's politics. People are fickle.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't think they're going to be posters of him up, at least not right now. He's got to figure out, you know, if I were one of his consultants or strategizing with him, I'm not sure what I would tell him about how to get back in good graces mm-hmm. with this crowd. I mean, maybe time will heal all wounds, right? I don't know.
I want to just mention to everybody, and I have to ask you as well, about Brian Moran, Virginia's public safety secretary. He comes on your program each and every Friday. This morning I heard at the end of the program that he had called in and said, oh, yeah, I'm going to be there tomorrow. People want answers, John. People are livid about what has gone on, what John Burkett at CBS 6 has uncovered.
Well, I've gotten a lot of emails and a lot of text messages from people who aren't really hyper-partisan. It's been interesting. You know, I know what topics are going to, you know, what you're going to email me about or what you're going to text me about or what other people are going to text me about. This has been odd. I think a lot of people are offended that someone who killed a police officer is out in the community.
That's right.
And they thought it was legitimate to look at the parole board and what was going on behind the scenes when that decision was made. How does somebody go from being on death row to having a life sentence in prison, to being freed and living right here in the Richmond area? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question to ask.
Yep.
And when you start to dig into John Burkett's report, and I heard his conversation with you, and I went on the Channel 6 website and watched his story and read the reports he's filed, when you see what appears to be a deliberate decision to delete entire pages of the Inspector General's report, and the whole point of the report was to get to the bottom of this, an objective, nonpartisan analysis of why this happened and how it went down. When those things are deleted, you got to ask, excuse me, who ordered those pages to be removed? Now, Brian says he's coming on tomorrow. Secretary Moran says he's coming on tomorrow, and I'm going to have to ask him that. Look, you say you didn't see the full report. Is that correct or not? And when did you see a first draft of this report? That's going to be one of the questions. And the next question is, if you say you didn't see it, then who in your office did?
Yep.
Who in the governor's office ordered these pages redacted or, well, not even redacted,
removed
before? Yeah, removed before they even were processed.
Yep. Seven.
I'm sorry, they're going to have to answer that.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
they're going to have to answer that.
All right. I am looking forward to that. I know you will ask the tough questions and be a true Southern gentleman as you do it, which is one of your strong suits. I will. I know it is. I'm being very, very truthful when I say that. It's one of the reasons I enjoy your show every day from 6 until 10 in the morning. Looking forward to having you as part of this Zoom call in about 40 minutes. Now, remember, you only have to dress from the waist up. So the bathing suit and the flip-flops down there at the Mega Resort Hotel in Orlando are perfectly okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Can I wear my Mickey Mouse hat? I'm so excited.
Well, I've for sure, absolutely, and those of us that are Daffy Duck fans, I'm sure I got a Daffy Duck coming. Yeah, all right, yeah, we'll do it. Again, I'm looking forward to having you with us all of us together this evening, and then first thing tomorrow morning, John. I really do appreciate you making time for us. That is John Reed. John will be here tomorrow at 6 a.m. Please make sure you are listening to him. These shows from CPAC in Orlando are, I think, probably going to be some of the most important shows that John has done. The one this morning was excellent, but it was just getting started. Tomorrow you're going to have all of those folks in place. And on Monday, John's still going to be in Orlando. Not that he's relaxing, but he'll be able to give us the firsthand account of how the former President Trump speech went. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.